Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for listening to What Mama Wants. Personally, I think Mother Earth wants far less toxics and way more health for her planet. This is a chance to hear from educators, citizens, policymakers, and scientists about the role toxics like mercury, PFAS, pesticides are playing in our daily lives. My guest today is Dr. David Kriebel, an epidemiologist and professor emeritus at the University of Massachusetts, Lowell. He's here today to talk about what we know and what we don't know about the toxic chemicals one might be exposed to when getting tattoos. Dr. Kriebel, thank you so much for joining me on What Mama Wants today.
It is a great pleasure to be with you. Happy to talk about this very interesting and important topic.
And hugely relevant these days.
Absolutely. It sure is. Just a walk down the street lets you know how relevant it is, right?
Yes, especially in summer when we see all those body parts.
Exactly.
But we know it's not just relevant today. It's established that people have gotten tattoos on their bodies since Ötzi the Iceman was found in the Alps dating back 5,000 years ago. And we know that pigment just hangs out in that epidermal layer of the skin. What do you say to people who feel tattoos really aren't such a big deal because they've been around forever and they're not really inside of you?
Yes, exactly. Very, very good questions. And I think the most important thing to say is that we don't know the answers to this question. We don't know whether tattoo inks are safe or whether they're harmful. Yes, humans have been tattooed for forever, but that doesn't mean that they don't, after many decades in your body, lead to perhaps chronic diseases like cancer or immune dysfunction diseases, autoimmune diseases, because we haven't looked. And one of the important lessons, I think, of public health from the modern era is that we can miss hazardous chemicals very easily unless we explicitly go and look for their effects. And we haven't looked to see whether tattooing is safe over the long term. And so I think we probably should. And I think we need to be asking questions like, how do we know what's safe and what's hazardous? And who has tested these chemicals? And how do we know that they are isolated from the body up there in the top layer of the skin? So lots of important questions to talk about. Some of them we have beginning answers to, and many that we just really don't know.
Yeah. I hear your ideas. Clear as a bell, we need to actually test. We need to follow these people for a long time and see what happens because there are some toxic ingredients in the tattoos and they're untested synthetic dyes, pigments mixed with acrylics and heavy metals. For instance, red is considered the most problematic color with cinnabar, cadmium, mercury, and iron oxide, which is rust, mixed in. People have big reactions to them, both allergic and maybe at some other level. You know, we know that mercury is not really something we want to put in our bodies all the time. I just wanted to share out there, too, that violet has manganese and aluminum. Blue often has cobalt and chromium and copper salt. These are all not arrived at the same way, but some yellows have cadmium, lead, and zinc. And green can have aluminum. So I'm curious to hear from you as an epidemiologist, what exactly happens in a person's body when they have this invasion of pigment in their skin?
Yes, this is one piece of the story that we do know something about because we can study it just by looking closely at the skin and the bodies of people as they get tattooed and shortly afterwards. So these hundreds, literally hundreds of chemicals that are now found in tattoo inks legally. What happens is they're deposited in the dermis by that little needle in the tattoo parlor. Most of that fluid, that ink, actually is removed right away, within days. It's carried by the body to the nearby lymph nodes through the lymphatic system. The body's doing its job of trying to clear foreign bodies, foreign substances out of the way. And in fact, a large portion of the ink, just in a percent of volume, does in fact go away. And it can be detected in the bloodstream, excreted in the urine. Some of it goes not quite that far, but gets stuck in lymph nodes. And so perhaps there are toxic effects in that days following the tattoo, as that portion of the tattoo ink is diffused throughout the body. Then, of course, some of it does stay put. That's the whole point, for decades and decades. And the perhaps somewhat surprising thing that recent research has shown is that that permanent ink staying there in the upper level of the skin is not walled off or isolated from the bloodstream. And this is a sort of an amazing part of our immune system, you know, is that we have this whole piece of our immune system that consists of cells, white blood cells, whose job is to run around the body and remove foreign bodies, identify foreign bodies and attack them. Things like viruses we've been learning about with COVID, but also and foreign chemicals as well. So the tattoo ink that's lodged there in the dermis, making that beautiful tattoo, is constantly being attacked by white blood cells. They're called macrophages. And they are little amoeba-like cells who run around in the body and identify foreign bodies and try and remove them. So there is a constant, for all those decades after the tattoo is put in the skin, constant stimulation of the immune system as macrophages identify it, go and try and remove it, and fail to remove it. But they keep trying.
Right, like and a hum.
There's a hum, and they keep dying. They die in the process of trying to remove it. And then another macrophage comes in to clean up the dead macrophage. And this is just a normal part of the immune system doing its job. The concern, though, is that we have this constant stimulation, therefore, of the immune system. What does that do in the long run? There are other diseases in which overstimulation of the immune system leads to its failure. You can imagine it gets tired. That's probably not a very formal way to talk about it, but conceptually, the immune system is not succeeding in removing these foreign bodies. And so perhaps, we don't know for sure, but perhaps this overstimulation of the immune system leads to chronic diseases, such as some lymphomas are caused by overstimulation of the immune system. And that's kind of the definition of the autoimmune diseases, things like lupus and sarcoidosis. These are overstimulation, a dysregulation, as it's called, of the immune system, leading to chronic diseases. So there is a worry. We don't know whether tattooing might lead in some people to these kinds of diseases of overstimulation of the immune system from the inks that are perpetually there, stimulating our immune cell response.
So people must wonder then, should they get their tattoos removed if they're not attached to them anymore? I read somewhere that 3 out of 4 people with tattoos regret them, more commonly men than women.
Yeah. So that's a tricky problem, I think, because while, again, I can't say for sure whether that from a health point of view is a good idea or a bad idea, there is at least a reason to worry about it from a health point of view, which is that the way that they're removed is with a laser, which uses high energy to break up the dye, to actually break the chemical bonds in the molecule of the dye that makes the color so that it no longer has that color. And so that's how it works. But unfortunately, it doesn't make them just magically disappear, of course. Those molecular bonds are broken. And therefore, what happens is new chemicals, smaller, less colorful chemicals, are formed. That's maybe effective from the point of view of removing the tattoo, but we do not know whether it is effective from the point of view of removing the toxin. And in fact, some of the breakdown products of tattoos, either from laser removal or simply from the sun, by the way, from ultraviolet light, may actually be more toxic than the dye itself. So, unfortunately, it's not clear that laser removal will reduce whatever risk there might be from the health point of view.
It's an interesting public health question because laser removals are up like 30% since 2011. And so, yeah, it's overwhelming. And so lately, I've noticed a lot of people kind of even refusing to get alarmed by toxics, saying things like, oh, well, everything causes cancer. And I wondered, Do you feel that's true or false?
Yeah, no, I think that's a question that we actually do know the answer to. It is false that not everything causes cancer. There are many chemicals that probably contribute to cancer, many synthetic organic chemicals that we have produced, we humans. But no, there are many, many chemicals on Earth that absolutely do not cause cancer. And the other thing that I think is important to point out when people feel that kind of sense of resignation and frustration is that if that were the case, then you would expect the rates of cancers to be constant over time and over place all over the world. And that is absolutely not true. Cancer rates for particularly certain kinds of cancers, like the lymphomas that result from these stimulation of the immune system in a dangerous way, these are actually rising significantly in frequency in the developed world, not just in the United States, but in many developed countries over the last 3 or 4 decades. Since the development of the modern petrochemical industry, basically. And so that's one answer. No, actually, certain kinds of cancer are much more common now than they were 30 or 40 years ago. The other argument for that is cancer rates are much higher in some parts of the country, of this country and other countries. They're higher in polluted cities. So that shows the flaw, right, in the logic of resignation. No, there are things we can and we should be doing to reduce cancer rates and prevent cancer. And one of the most important of those is to reduce our exposure to modern synthetic organic chemicals. And tattoo inks are one of those types.
And if the rates went up with exposure, if we limit our exposures, hypothetically, the rates could go down.
Absolutely. And it's more than hypothetical. We actually know for certain. We have good examples of chemicals that were found to be toxic, found to be carcinogenic, have been removed from the environment, and the rates of the types of cancers that they cause go down. So we know that we can do it. It takes a while. You know, it's not overnight. As we know, cancers take many years to form, to develop. So it's a somewhat slow process, but it's absolutely doable. And the other piece of that, I think, is just so important for people to realize. And maybe it's another kind of question that or piece of the argument for why it's okay to have a tattoo is the assumption that, well, if these chemicals are allowed to be put in tattoo inks, they must be safe. Somebody has tested them and found them to be safe. And I'm really sorry to say that that is absolutely not true. And it's actually rather shocking, but there's no testing at all of the toxicity of tattoo inks. And in the United States, the formal legal authority to regulate tattoo inks is clearly held by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA. They, in addition to food and drugs, they also are empowered with the regulation of cosmetics. And tattoo inks fall under that category. However, the FDA has said very clearly that they do not do it. They have the authority, but they have not used it. So there is no regulation of tattoo inks. And so whatever pretty bright new color a company decides would make a nice tattoo, it can be put into people's skin. And I find that rather alarming. And, you know, at a minimum, there should be a toxicity testing of these products, but there is not.
Yeah. If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to What Mama Wants, Less Toxics and More Health. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Dr. David Kriebel. And we are talking about the toxic chemical side effects of tattoo ink. What you've just said is so profound. I'm guessing most Americans believe that tattoos have been tested and proven to be safe before being allowed to be put under their skin. The FDA isn't managing this. Are there safe inks out there? And what do other countries do about this?
Yeah. So, good question. And if we look to the other side of the Atlantic, we do see somewhat of a better situation. The European Union has a very comprehensive chemical regulation system in place for all of its member states. And under that system, chemicals are presumed to be hazardous unless they can be shown to be safe. And manufacturers and producers of chemicals are told that they have to show evidence that their chemicals are safe. And if they cannot do that, then they are phased out of use. And under those rules, just this summer, something like 4,000 chemicals were removed from tattoo inks in the European Union. Those are chemicals that are still allowed in tattoo inks in the United States. Now, this is a good thing. I think it's a step in the right direction. But I do think that, unfortunately, it's not enough, because what they have done, again, a good step, is they have identified these 4,000 chemicals for which they have evidence, for example, in animal tests or in tests in a test tube and bacteria, that these chemicals are capable of causing certain kinds of toxic effects, things like cancer or mutations. So the logic, I think quite reasonably, I think you'd agree, the logic is, well, if something causes mutations in a bacterial cell or it causes cancer in an animal, we probably shouldn't put it in tattoo inks. Seems reasonable. That's what the Europeans have said. That's what they're doing. Good for them. However, what we do not know is whether the remaining hundreds of chemicals, which are still allowed in tattoo inks, even in Europe, will not cause cancer and immune diseases and so on in humans after decades in your skin, because no one has ever tested to see. You see? So we have a sort of narrow set of criteria, which is a good step. They don't cause toxicity in animals, but that doesn't mean they don't cause problems when you put them under your skin and then leave them there for decades. We don't know. And I think that that remains the really important question that we need to be urgently doing public health research on, is we need to be studying people who have tattoos, have had tattoos now for decades, and look to see whether their pattern of disease is any different than the pattern of diseases in a similar group of people who have not had tattoos. That's called epidemiology, and we need that, and it's not been done. We need
it. It's kind of astonishing it hasn't been done. Why do you think we haven't bothered to study this?
Isn't it fascinating? I don't know all the reasons, and I'm sure maybe many of your listeners might have just as good an idea as I do about why that is, because this is something about human behavior and kind of human attitudes, how we think about what beauty and what the sort of almost maybe even almost spiritual aspects, right, of body decoration. And I think we kind of put that in a different part of our understanding of life or something than, you know, a drug, pollution coming out of a smokestack of a factory or something. We put it in a different category maybe. But yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense once you start thinking about this as a chronic toxic chemical exposure rather than as beauty decoration. Mm-hmm. It's both. It's both, of course. But anyway, yeah, it's fascinating. But I think there's a real gap. There's a big hole in our understanding, and it is proving difficult. I've been trying to find the commitment from, you know, government agencies to fund this kind of work, and it's difficult. It's difficult to find someone who wants to support this kind of research, and I don't really understand why.
Is there research going on in other countries, since we're not researching the long-term effects of tattoos on health here?
Yeah, so there are some studies going on in Europe. There's a group in Sweden who are doing some studies that may give some results as soon as next year. This is on cancers, chronic cancer effects of tattoos. And the French and the German governments are starting to follow large populations of their citizens who have been tattooed so that they will be able to compare their disease rates to non-tattooed citizens. So we will get some evidence, but it's going to take a little while. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So what do you think Mama wants with regard to tattoos and toxics?
Yeah, I really think that, again, the story needs to be understood as a story of toxic chemical exposure. And what Mama wants is the same as with all other toxics, that human beings, before we manufacture, produce, and release into the environment a chemical, and the environment includes under our skin, by the way. Before that happens, we evaluate its toxicity, both for humans and for the whole planet. And we only release into the environment, under our skin, chemicals which are safe. I think that's very straightforward and entirely feasible, at least going forward. There's these legacy problems, the PFAS and so on and so forth, that your listeners are familiar with. These are more complicated problems, of course. But going forward, it's not complicated if we wanted to do it, to simply say we will not allow new chemicals to be manufactured and produced and put out into the environment until they have been shown to be safe. That's what Mama wants.
Not innocent until proven guilty.
Exactly. Very good. Very good. Well said.
Say, to close this interview, I'd like to ask you a few quick questions about your relationship to Mama Earth, if you're game.
Sure.
As a kid, what was your favorite thing to do outside in nature?
I loved to climb trees. I terrified all the adults at the picnic by scampering up into the top of the tree. I was absolutely fearless about climbing up into trees.
Nice.
And I never fell out, so.
Oh, that is good. Can you describe a scene in nature where you have felt awe?
Oh, so often. So often. We have just been watching a kingfisher back and forth across the surface of a pond, day in and day out, with this manic energy that just fills you with joy and awe to see the commitment of that little animal to catching fish and surveilling the pond. Extraordinary.
It may be the same, but what's one thing you're currently wondering about in nature?
The herons, which have been nesting on an island just off the coast here. I'm on the Massachusetts coast. This year, the heron rookery was filled with the great egret, the big white one, but not the smaller snowy egret. And last year, there were many, many snowies, and we do not know why. And so we're wondering what happened to the snowies, or did the great egrets compete them out, or was there a better place for the snowies to go? So we're fascinated by that puzzle.
And finally, what's your favorite baby animal?
Oh, a baby cowbird. Because, you know, their eggs get laid in the nests of other birds. And so we have these poor little house sparrows that are feeding these enormous baby cowbirds. And clearly everybody's confused, but it works. So beautiful. Exactly. So beautiful to see.
Dr. Krebel, you are so good at writing scholarly articles from an epidemiological perspective in order to try to protect people you've never met from serious health hazards. But you are also really good at putting what you know into everyday terms, which is not nearly as easy to do. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge about toxics and tattoos with us today. And thanks for being my guest on What Mama Wants.
And thank you. Such a pleasure and such a great opportunity to talk about this important topic. Thank you.